with mothers. It's Fudge with Mothers.
Hello, listeners.
Hello.
And welcome to podcast number 12. Is this 13 now?
This is, I don't know what this is anymore. To fill everybody in, not only did we fuck it up yesterday, it's just fucked up again, hasn't it?
Yeah. I'm kind of at a loss for words to describe what's going wrong with the process. Basically, the software we're using to record it keeps mangling. And that wasn't helped by my taking the drug Salvia while recording yesterday in an effort to beat George Lamb at his own game.
Yeah. And then it all buggered up again, didn't it? It buggered up yesterday. We lost all the gold from yesterday.
Yep.
And now we've just lost a bit more gold. So I mean, should we summarise every bit of gold that we've lost?
Yeah, it was about 8-carat gold, so I would if I were you, yeah.
Right, so that's 8 carats. So carrot, what was carrot one? What did we lose first? Would that be eyes are the same as ears?
Yeah, you told me that eyes are the same as ears, so that's the first carrot.
Let me just tick that off. That's number one. Right, number two, you like small boys.
Technically untrue. I like the boyish haircut on the Asian presenter of BBC Breakfast.
Okay, and just to put that into context, Swine's Head is a teacher in the olden days. Here's all the new boys coming in. Hello, sir. Hello, class. Come into my cupboard and see my new collection of chalk. There you go. Mm. Right, that's that ticked off.
Third
number
carrot.
Three, we don't like Hugh Edwards.
No, you were once married to Hugh Edwards.
I was once married to Hugh Edwards. No, I wasn't. He turned down my proposal for marriage, which is why I don't like him. But secretly, it's because he's Welsh.
He jilted you at the altar.
Yep, you being part Welsh.
That was
you
four.
Don't like him because he's Welsh. Is that number four?
Yeah, that can be the fourth carrot.
Right, you don't like him because he's Welsh. Number five. What was number five? Anyway, there's 5, 6, 7, and 8. All the listeners need to know is we've buggered this up so many times that, well, should we just end it there, actually? I can't be arsed.
Okay.
Fuck it. Fuck the preamble for once. Let's have a small preamble because we've done this now 50 times.
Well, it would be a good place to stop and see if it works.
Yeah, so cue the jingle, speaking about things. You know what I mean? Fuck it.
Speaking about things insensibly. They'll watch a rubbish show so that you don't have to. Then they'll watch another. They'll watch with mothers.
Right, well, I think you should start.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hello.
So
I'm in a better mood now. Sorry about the preamble there. I lost my cool.
It's not the first time.
Well, yeah. I mean, to explain to everybody, probably for the umpteenth time. I mean, the problem with this is that we've all got kind of deja vu now, haven't we? We're going to have to be repeating the same things we've already said 50 times. But unless I have said this already, just to explain to everybody, if I'm a bit short today, not as in size-wise, but in temperament, it's because I'm on nicotine replacement therapy, and that doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. It makes you very jittery, doesn't it?
It does. It makes you jittery, and it also makes you angry. Rage. You know, I'm shaking with rage.
It makes your mouth throb as well,
I think. It does, yeah. It's because the gum that you eat, it's like eating an old ashtray, and it's just not very nice. It's horrible. So, you know, like I say, to explain, if I suddenly just fly to a fit of rage, it's because I'm on this shit and not fags. Good old fags from the old days.
I don't think, to be honest, they're going to notice the difference.
Right, okay, then. Well, shall I do my first one, then?
Yeah, please do, yeah.
Okay, right. My first personality, taken from the list of people that they don't like on the site, whatever, is Andy Parsons.
Andy Parsons is the little bald fella?
That's right. Do you want to know what I've written here?
Yeah, go on, then.
Right, I've written, weirdo mock the week egghead with most annoying vocal tic since the BBC banned lisps. Shall I do the voice?
Who, the BBC what?
They've banned lisps. You know, lisp.
I thought you meant a band called Lisps.
No, not the band Lisp. Lisp.
Oh, right, okay.
They've banned Lisp.
Have they actually banned lisps?
Yeah, then you're not allowed to have a lisp on the BBC anymore. Didn't you know this?
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's at the back of the BBC website.
You're lying to me.
I'm not lying. No, it's at the back near the toilets. Anyway, do you want me to do the voice?
No, wait, why do Jonathan Ross?
I'm not spinning back.
Why can Jonathan Ross get away with not pronouncing his R?
He's not got a lisp.
No, but he can't say wuh. Well, yeah, he can say wuh, but he can't say r.
Yeah, but that's not a lisp. A lisp is a lisp. It's like that. Lisp. I've got a lisp. Like that.
All right, do the voice.
Right, thank you very much. So, this is Andy Parsons. To people who don't know who Andy Parsons is, they'll recognise it from this. This is a sample joke from Andy Parsons. Here we go. My wife's got no nose. How does she smell? She won't ever hold a cold. Like that, didn't he?
Yeah, it does sound like that.
Oh, I'm not very happy. I've just been to the Caribbean. Awful. Etc. He's got a terrible fucking way of doing it. And every time he comes on Mock the Week, which is not a good show anyway, let's be fair.
No.
Do you like Mock the Week?
I think it's absolutely dreadful. Never watch it.
No, exactly. I don't know of anybody who actually likes Mock the Week, apart from monged out students watching Dave at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And, well, they like everything, don't they?
I assume.
Yeah, because it's telly and it shapes. So anyway, he comes on, and it's bad enough anyway because he's got Frankie Bloody Boyle on there, and it's got the Bishop's boy, not Hugh Dennis. Is it Hugh Dennis or is it Steve Punn?
No, it's Dennis.
Dennis. It's got Dennis on there. So you're already thinking, oh, this is a put. And then he comes on and goes, oh, I'm not really happy. I don't know. Who is he?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because he just looks like someone they've pulled out of Jongleurs.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And stuck in there, you know. And Jongleurs is... I've seen some good acts at Jongleurs, to be fair, but most of them are his level, and that's not a good level.
Yeah, and why is he on the TV? Where does he come from? Who is he?
He's got no pedigree, has he?
No, I mean, was he in a sketch show? Was he in a... Is he a stand-up, is he? Who is he?
He's just the sort of person who... What?
I just burped.
Well, I thought it was just like an ejaculation of disapproval or
no,
something.
No, well, actually, it could be. Take it as that, actually. Ah, Andy Parsons.
Yeah, he's not good enough, is he, to be on the TV?
He's not good enough, and he's not funny. And, I mean, he's supposed to be on a funny programme. Mind you, that show's not that funny. But he's probably the least funny thing on a very unfunny show. He is he's the modern equivalent of the bit in... what was that Clive Anderson game show that was on in the 80s?
Whose line is it anyway?
Oh, even saying it makes me heart sick. But he is the equivalent of when Josie Lawrence came up on the hoedown. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was always the worst bit. Or a march.
Oh, we're having a hoedown. And you sit there, no, not the hoedown. Please, Jesus, kill me now.
Whose line is it anyway? That had some good bits. Paul Merton was good on it.
Yeah, but I mean, in the main, it wasn't very good. I mean, it was at the tail end of the awful 80s alternative comedy malarkey, and it was where they were even worse than they were at the beginning. And everybody was wearing huge red jackets, and there was too many Canadians on there, and it wasn't funny, it was shit.
I'd say it was 50-50, but you've forgotten to mention that on Mock the Week, I'd say the worst thing about Mock the Week is not Andy Parsons, it's Dara O'Brien.
Dara O'Brien's? Well, what's wrong with him? Dara O'Breach is the Irish man.
Yeah, he's the smuggest man in the world. He's about 8 foot tall, which immediately discredits him.
Yeah.
And he also, after every single joke, goes,
Oh, did you like the joke I did there, little fellas? Like that. Is that a good... Is that offensive to Irish people, what I've just done there?
No, I don't think so. It's quite an accurate...
Oh, hello, my name's Dara O'Brien, you little fella from over the water near County Cork in Ireland. Is that... That's quite offensive.
That's inaccurate because you didn't go, from over the water in Ireland, bah!
Bah! Hello, I'm Dara O'Brien. Bah! Well, I think we've established... there. Father, is there anywhere on the internet I could go for informative television reviews?
Yes, my boy, there is. It's called Watch With Mothers. You'll find it incredibly informative, despite the fact that it's written by the mentally challenged.
Thank you, Father.
Shall I do one of mine?
Is it your go?
Yep.
Okay, what's your unbearable celebrity swine's head from London.
From Lincolnshire, actually.
Well, I'm obviously born and bred in a potato field.
Yeah, I'm going with a suggestion. Can't remember who it's from, but it's accurate.
It's probably it's probably Pilchard.
No, actually, it's because it's about sport. It's probably D-I-N-L-T.
D-I-N-L-T. Yeah, it'll be him, won't it? He's obsessed with sport.
But he's right, Alan Shearer and, in fact, Gary Lineker, Alan Hansen and Mark Lawrenson,
the match of the day lot.
Well, yeah, they are terrible, but Alan Shearer has got a particularly... he's particularly good at being terrible.
Right. Oh, he's bland, isn't he? He's very, very bland.
Bland is not the word. Well, it is the word.
Because it is the word.
It definitely is a word. Let me check my dictionary.
It's a footballing equivalent of beige trousers. Not footballing, actually. The commentating equivalent of beige trousers. On the pitch, Shearer, you know what I mean? But the moment he's transferred over to commentary and analysis, that's it. He's now become a pair of beige trousers. Have you found your dictionary?
Yeah, bland is a word.
Right.
But yeah, he was good on the pitch, apart from his goal celebration was always pretty bland. Yeah, he just raised his fist in the air, didn't he?
You could be guaranteed, come results time on a Saturday, they'd come to Newcastle's result, and it'd always be Newcastle 1, scorer, Shearer. Every fucking week, without fail.
Always a close range, poacher's goal.
Yeah, he knew his onions, did Shearer, I'll give him that. But now he's transferred to Match of the Day, he's shocking.
He was that rare thing, a workhorse striker. But yeah, anyway, we're sounding like a
DRNLT. Yeah, sorry, we don't want to go. We've already alienated the ladies.
But the problem with him, ladies, just to explain, is that he says things like the following. In games like this, you have to score goals. Well, Alan, in any game, you have to score goals.
Yeah, well, I'll be damned. I mean, admittedly, that is a bit of a footballer's trait, isn't it? So, what are you planning on doing today, Terry? Well, we're going to go out there, we're going to give it 110%, we're going to try and score more goals than them, and hopefully walk away with the title.
Obviously, we lost our last couple of matches, but in this game, it's all about bounce-back ability.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Over to you, Gordon.
He also says things like, well, it was absolutely crucial that they won this game. And it's crucial that you win any game.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. Mind you, there are some you can lose.
I suppose, the last game of the season.
You know what
maybe.
I mean? When they go over the Bahrain or whatever, take place in these weird exhibition matches against shit teams from abroad. Yeah, you can lose those. You're not going to lose face, are you, if you're playing in Abu Dhabi and nobody knows you're even there? Or that time, do you remember that time that Man U decided the FA Cup wasn't good enough for them because they needed to go and play in America?
That's like 10 years ago now, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know, but it's still relevant to people who are obsessed with football. We're doing it again.
Yeah, we're boring people.
This is turning into talk sport.
So anyway, ladies, just to sum up, Alan Shearer says things that are blatantly obvious, which everyone in football does, but he does it every single time he opens his mouth.
And he does it in a not bad Geordie accent, from your point of view. That was quite good. That was a good impression.
Well, in a league like this, you have to have an on-form striker.
And then the doors open and then the close again, like.
Well, it was an absolutely canny goal, lad.
I was down in that there London... And I went down on the tube, and it was amazing, because the train turned up, and the doors opened, and I got on, and then the doors closed. And then we got to another station, and the doors opened, and I got out, and they closed again. I went up some stairs, and I was in London.
And then I hit the goal, I hit the ball, and it hit the back of the Union net.
And I went to Wembley Stadium, and I knocked down the towers.
And then I went home and listened to Celine Dion.
Oh, I love Celine Dion.
Hello there. You're listening to the smooth and groovy sounds of Watch With Mothers. Here to entertain you in your ears as you go to sleep or perhaps masturbate into a cup. Watch With Mothers.
Okay, I believe it's your turn now.
Well, I think just before we do that, we should apologise once again to the ladies for the sport-related mess that was the last couple of choices. And I think just an emergency lady rescue to make sure that they're not going to switch off because we've mentioned sport.
Yeah, this puts me in mind of Rapunzel. So, ladies, let down your hair and allow us to clamber up with a new unbearable TV personality.
Okay, yeah. And just to get you in the mood, shopping and shoes. Right, okay, so that's the ladies back on side. So is it my one now?
Yep.
Right, okay, my next one is John McCririck.
Oh, well, that's going to put the ladies off, isn't it?
Well, yeah, actually, yeah, that wasn't a good one to go in after just getting the ladies back, actually, thinking about it.
God.
No, fuck it, let's roll with it. Do you want to know what I've written?
Yeah, go on then.
Okay, sideburned, beak-nosed arsehole flails arms about at horseflesh crowd in topcoats and tails, then goes home to berate wife named after some tits. A sweaty wantwit dressed as Sherlock Holmes who looks as bad as he no doubt smells. The kind of characters that leave self-inflicted skid marks in giant underpants for put-upon wife to discover under old copy of the Racing Post. John McCririck.
Yeah, I don't know, sideburned and beak-nosed, are you trying to say something?
Well, no, admittedly you do have a large nose, but this is all about unbearable celebrities, right. Not you. Okay. I know you're trying to hog the limelight.
McCririck, the minute you think of him, you just have the image of him, and it's very, very unpleasant.
Yeah, he's a grotesque, sweaty, blushing sack of... flab. I imagine if you were to slap John McCririck's arse, it'd be like slapping a wet sack full of water. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a bit like smacking a kind of flaccid waterbed.
Yeah, or getting a Johnny and filling it up with water and that kind of boing, 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 you know, that. That would be the interior structure of John McCririck.
But before he went on Celebrity Big Brother, he was just noted as a bit of a crazy eccentric, wasn't
No,
he?
Not really. I mean, did you ever watch the racing on Channel 4?
Yeah, I used to tune in occasionally, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even then, people would... I mean, you'd go to him, you'd go, the flat's good to blah, 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 blah today, and he'd do all that arm shit, and you'd get people in the background shaking their heads. They were probably shaking their heads because of the smell of the skid marks coming off his underpants.
You get all those people lurking behind him as well.
You do, yeah. All going, hello! And what they don't realise is that they're going hello to a load of hapless wastrels in betting shops up and down Britain who don't care.
Oh, and also very old men in pubs watching the racing.
Yeah, old men called Ted.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's usually about eight Teds, and if you frequent the same pub, year on year there'll be a Ted down until there's finally just one Ted left.
We need a new generation of Teds.
We do. We need more Teds. We need more Walters. The kind of people who just spend their entire lives gambling and drinking. You don't get many British people doing that anymore. It's a bloody shame.
Yeah, I wonder how the Racing Post is doing now that newspapers are folding.
I don't know. Do you think it's been superseded by the internet? Are these the kind of racy characters that walk around with iPhones?
You have looking to hope at, not.
I don't think so. To be honest, I think the Racing Post is probably doing quite good. You know, I don't see the gambling generation getting with it like the kids.
Well, iPhones are, I don't know, I think there's only it's not a massive market, is it really?
Well, no, but now, I mean, I say iPhones, I mean, really, what we should just call them is mobiles, yeah. Because now every other company are doing the same thing as them anyway. It must piss Apple off, actually, because they came up with what was genuinely a fascinating new idea, and now everybody's doing it. You know, with these touchscreen things and applications and what have you. I think even what's that really shit company that makes mobiles you can buy in Superdrug?
Well, there's a few of them, isn't there?
Yeah, but I think they're even doing them now. So, you know, they must over in America be thinking, oh, bastards, why didn't we patent this idea?
Very boring point, but I don't think iPhone were the first to do touchscreen internet, to be honest.
Well,
what
Nokia was, if I remember right. Actually, you're right, this is almost as boring as sport.
Yeah, let's talk about McCririck and his big fat man boobs.
Yeah, he's a big fat man boob. Didn't he go on... he went on Big Brother, didn't he? And didn't he pick his nose a lot?
Yeah, he went insane when they denied him Diet Coke and ran around in his underpants having...
Like a big baby.
Having some sort of crisis. And, yeah, picking his nose, wiping it on things and eating his bogeys as well. I mean, which we all do. But we give up at the age of about 25.
Yeah, was this after you got arse worms?
Me?
Yeah.
I got arse worms when I was a small child.
Right. Do you want to talk about that?
Can do. Have you ever had it?
Well, I've ever had worms coming out my arse.
Yeah.
No.
It's deeply unpleasant.
No. I mean, were these real worms? Do they look like garden worms?
No, they're threadworm. They're absolutely tiny little things.
What, a bit like vermicelli?
Exactly like vermicelli, yeah.
Yeah. But, that's quite fascinating. I assume you got those because you were a dirty little boy.
Yeah, I got those when I was probably about 5 or 6 from playing in the garden, then picking my nose and eating it.
Oh, right.
Delicious, though.
Oh, well, yeah, exactly. I mean, at that age, that's a culinary treat. Much better than what Mum's making in the kitchen, which back in those days was, of course, cabbage.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Boiled cabbage.
Cabbage featured heavily in my life as a child. And not just cabbage as we know it now, but cabbage from the olden days, which was put on in about 1983 and you ate it in 1985.
Yeah, it was just sludge, really.
That's right, it was on the boil for a while and the whole world smelled the cabbage. Whenever you went to hospital, that stank of cabbage.
Yeah.
And schools smelt of cabbage. Everywhere municipal and run by the government or the local councils, stank of boiled cabbage.
That's you only really get cabbage now in salad, don't you? And it's never boiled.
No, or a kebab. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's always raw usually. I mean, I certainly wouldn't volunteer to eat cabbage. Not in its boiled form, because I just assume I'd eat it and just go, like that. Do you want some cabbage? Yeah, I mean, the whole thing about Red Riding, do you remember that Red Riding thing that was on?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it was all right, that, wasn't it? But the problem was, it didn't smell of cabbage, so therefore it wasn't authentic to me.
What, smell-o-vision?
Yeah, if they'd have had smell-o-vision and you'd have had the rancid stench of boiled cabbage coming out of your TV, that would have made Red Riding the best show ever made.
It would have been a bit like Jorvik.
It would have been a bit like Jorvik, yeah, except it wouldn't have stank of shit, it'd have stank of cabbage. The 70s smelt of cabbage.
So what do you imagine, if we had smell-o-vision, McCririck would have smelled of?
Well, I suppose you're looking at a mixture of skid marks, bogies, bad quality detergent, and old jism.
Oh, I love the smell of old jism in
the morning. Yeah, well, I can imagine that he doesn't. His personal hygiene leaves a lot to be. What's the word?
Desired.
That's it.
Just going back to the picking your nose and eating it thing.
Yep.
Do you recall when you were young, you'd try a bogey, you go, oh, that's quite nice.
It's got a salty aftertaste.
Packed with protein, but then you dip a little finger in your ear, try that, and never again would you venture
that was a no. No, I mean, because I've reached a certain age now, my ears are full of wax.
Yeah.
I can't hear anything. I mean, our TV's broken because I've got the sound up so loud. I've blown the speakers. You know what I mean? Like your granddad, that sort of thing. Everything to me is a dull sound in the distance.
You should try and have your ears syringed. Do you ever have that done?
I have, yeah, and I need to go and get it done. But as a consequence of that, I'm forever fiddling inside my ears. You know, I'm in there, I'm digging away in there all the time. And the problem is, I'm also quite absent-minded, and I bite my nails.
Right.
I've always bitten my nails. So what happens is, I'm there having a good dig in my ears, and then guess what happens?
Oh, I don't want to know. You lose a nail?
No, I don't lose a nail. No, I've finished digging in my ears. I carry on watching my broken, loud television. And then about 5 minutes later, I go to bite my nails. Guess what's on my nails?
Wax.
Earwax. Earwax. Oh, it's a hideous flavour. I got this hideous diarrhea.
Slurp of water.
Would you like a travel sweet?
What kind are they?
They're barley sugars.
Well, I prefer a pear drop.
So, these are barley sugars.
Not pear drop.
You like one?
No, I'd prefer a pear drop.
Oh, well, fuck you then.
So, what's your next one then?
Well, no, I did the last one.
No, I did the last
one. No, I did the last one. John McCririck, the fat bastard.
Oh, right, okay, it's my go then.
Yeah, it's your go. Bloody hell.
Well, this isn't one that I would personally have chosen. There are worse people out there, but...
Right. Is it girls allowed?
No.
Right.
In fact, the girls tend to hate them more than the boys. It's
Ooh.
The Top Gear crew.
Ah, da 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 da. They're wrong?
Eh?
They're wrong.
Well, I don't totally agree with it, but they I can see why they're annoying. Firstly, the main thing about Hammond was, what is it exactly that Hammond does?
Well, you know, Richard Hammond is all right. I don't get the Richard Hammond attacks on Top Gear. He's all right.
I don't actually mind him that much, but he is a bit of a spare prick at a wedding, isn't he?
Yeah, but is he though? I mean, would it be a better show with just James May and Jeremy Clarkson? No.
Personally, I think it would be a better show with just James May.
Yeah, but you're wrong, because the whole point of Top Gear, the reason Top Gear is as successful as it is because of Clarkson, not James May.
I should point out that I don't really know much about cars. I do enjoy Top Gear when I watch it, but I don't go out of my way to watch it, so I'm certainly not well-placed to comment on this.
I watch it religiously.
Right, but...
It is like a religion to me. I love Top Gear. It's made, you know, for, as far as I'm concerned, it's made for me, exclusively for me. You know, if it could just be sent to me... If it could be sent to me every week as a DVD that I could selfishly watch on my own and nobody else could ever watch it again, I'd be happy.
Right. Well, I think you're actually doing yourself down here.
Why?
Because that's not a great facet of your personality, is it?
What, the fact that I would selfishly watch a TV show and never let anybody else watch it? I don't see why. What's wrong with that?
Because
anyway, it's not about me. Hold on. It's not about me. Yeah, all right, fair enough, I'm a shitbag. But, you know, the point is this is about unbearable celebrities. Regardless of what I do, my actions, that's neither here nor there.
Oh, watch with mothers. Watch with mothers. No. Yes. Watch with mothers. Watch with mothers. Yes, I will watch with mothers.
Hello, we're back. Had a bit of a technical problem there.
It all bugged up, didn't it? All went wrong. We're halfway through talking about Top Gear and we started sounding like robots.
Keeps
like dirty
happening.
Robots.
Well, let's hope it doesn't happen again. But I think we were saying, you were going on about how you want it all to yourself. And I was about to say a more interesting point.
My selfish greed.
That Clarkson's apparently gone on record saying he has no knowledge of engineering.
Yeah.
Yeah, he fronts a show about car technology.
Well, it's not about car technology. It's actually an entertainment show, as they have tried to explain to the British. If you notice, I now sound like I've got a fag in my mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because... willpower. That's what you need to give up fags, children. Willpower. Anyway. Oh, that's good. Right, now, he has gone on record as saying that, but the point being is he's also gone on record and said Top Gear is not a show about cars. It's actually an entertainment show, yeah? So that's why they have all the stunts, why they have all the races and all that sort of stuff, and they occasionally talk about cars. But everybody ignores this and goes, he didn't know fuck all about cars, what's he doing on there? All right then, let's get an automotive engineer to front a programme about cars and see how long it lasts. What do you reckon, a week?
I think Channel 5 are doing that and it's not doing too well in the ratings.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. The thing is, what people seem to complain about and hate about Top Gear is what makes it successful. Yet the alternative is essentially a 2 o'clock in the morning open university show about automobile engineering.
It does get a bit tiresome the way they talk, though, doesn't it?
What? This is one of the best cars in the world. Yeah, all that shit, yeah.
Driving this car is a bit like eating a hard-boiled egg.
I actually visited...
Without removing the shell.
Viz did a brilliant one time. I don't know if you remember that. It was a Roger Melly cartoon, and he was on Top Gear with Jeremy Clarkson. And Jeremy Clarkson goes, this is one of the best cars in the world. In fact, I'm going to fuck it. Up the arse. And then he does it up the exhaust pipe.
Very nice.
good old Viz.
Yeah, good old Viz. But it is a bit like watching, say, your older brother playing an arcade game and you're not actually allowed to go because he's being a bastard and not letting you get a grab on the joystick.
Well, admittedly, they do look to have a hell of a lot more fun. I tend to watch the show and think, God, you lucky bastards.
Yeah, middle-aged men having more fun than me. What's the point of that?
But the point is, I mean, what TV show? I mean, there's a lot of TV shows you could sit there and think. I mean, you could take the entire TV industry and think, you fucking lucky fuckers. You know what I mean? There's always somebody out there who's got a better job than you've got.
Incorrect, because you can actually share the joy when it's comedy, can't you? But if it's just some middle-aged men having shits and giggles, you can't have your thrills vicariously through them, can you?
What, so what you're saying is you hate it? Is that what you're saying? Did you hate the Vietnam one, for instance, where they went to Vietnam?
You know for a fact that I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you're poo-pooing something you actually enjoy.
Look, I'm doing this you're on pandering. Behalf of the readers.
Yeah, exactly. You're pandering to the readers, the lady readers.
I'm giving them a going, voice.
Ooh, that like Jeremy Clarkson. He's rubbish at engineering. Fuck you. What do you know? Up yours. It's not for you. There's plenty of bloody programmes out there. If you don't like Top Gear, switch it off. For fuck's sake. It's not for you. It's not made for you. It's not nothing to do with you. Bugger off.
Do you want to do your next one, then?
Yeah, sorry about that. That was a bit of a tirade, but I'm annoyed now. Again.
Well, take it out on your next celebrity, I suppose.
Right, okay. The next one is Jeremy Kyle.
Well, I think everyone can agree on that, can't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, yesterday we established that when you say the words Jeremy Kyle, it should be followed by a piece of evil music, shouldn't it? And the evil music we came up with was that one for the Old Spice adverts from the 70s.
Go on, give us a run.
That one.
Yeah.
Is it by Orff?
What?
Orff. I think that's the bloke who wrote it, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know anything about that sort of thing.
I think his name was Orff, his last name. His first name was probably Fuck. Fuck Orff. I assume, anyway. But anyway, yeah, Jeremy Carr. Do you want to know what I've written about him?
Yeah, go on then.
Right, I've written the evil-tempered ringmaster over ITV's Morning Carnival of Shit. Kyle specialises in roaring his hatred at the faces of the mentally challenged inhabitants of arse towns such as Rotherham, Barnsley, Derby and Leicester. A parasite who makes his money by exploiting the fact ignoramuses will never get the hang of contraception and are far too bovine to understand Kyle has got them on TV not to help them but to humiliate them. Hades in TV form, Kyle is Satan!
Well, that's the weird thing, isn't it? They don't even seem to be there for help. They just want to get their point across, not realising that their point is ridiculously skewed.
Well, that's right. I mean, what happens is somebody called Jackie, not Jackie, but Jackie, comes on and she goes, I'm not happy about Wade. He's been sleeping with my sister. Like that. And then the sister comes on and goes, fuck you, fuck you. And then Carl just comes in and goes, you shut up. You're all idiots. Fuck you. Stick it up your arse. There you go. That's the end of the show. They think, well, what was the point of that? Why did they volunteer to go on that?
I don't know. The only one I've actually sat and watched from start to finish, the only person Kyle was sympathetic to was a man who bit his wife's face.
Right. Did he have a tooth growing out of his forehead?
He might have had it concealed, but probably, yeah.
Right. So, what I mean, you're saying that the only person Kyle likes is the sort of character who bites his own wife and has a tooth growing out of his forehead?
Yeah, so what does that say about Kyle?
He's a cunt.
Well, quite.
Yeah, I'm sorry to use that word.
It's a very dirty word.
Well, it is a bit, isn't it? Yeah. But, well, you know, I mean, it's not. We didn't say it was a family show, did we?
No, it's explicit.
A family's listening to this. Are you a family?
I don't know who's listening to this. I know some people are listening to it, though.
Yeah, I know. They keep leaving comments and things, though. They say, it's great, you like that. Yeah, what we need to do is make a really bad one. Oh, hang on a minute. We've already done that.
We're doing it.
Yeah, sorry about that. Shall we move on?
And now I believe it's your turn.
No, it's not. Yet again. I've just done Jeremy fucking Kyle. You're just not keeping up.
My turn then. I would like to cover.
This is inept.
Yeah, well, obviously it's inept. That's the name of the game.
Oh, right, that's the name of the game. A bit of ABBA for you there.
Very nice.
Thank you very much.
Kate Silverton, who actually I could picture being one of ABBA.
What, in ABBA?
She would fit in, yeah, pretty well, I think.
And I suppose her name being Kay, and, well, starting with Kay. And the name of the band is ABBA, which is made up of the names of the people in ABBA, isn't it? So it's Anya, is it Anna? Anifrida, no, Agnetha, Anifrida, Benny and Bjorn, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so add a K to that, arrange it around a bit, and you could get Kabab.
Yeah, so Kate Silverton of Kabab.
Of Kabab.
She winds me up a little bit in the morning.
Why?
Because she is noticeably not very comfortable and she's very mean to Bill Turnbull.
She is a bit mean to Bill Turnbull. She bullies him a bit, doesn't she?
Yeah, and she talks over him all the time.
Right, what about her boobs? Do you like her boobs?
You can't see her boobs.
What do you mean you can't see a boob? She's a woman. They're in front. They're not behind. They're not hiding. Somewhere near her arse.
I thought they were under her armpits.
No. Boobs. Boobs are located... Well, if you go down from the neck, they're those big lumps that you... Well, not always big, are they?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Susanna Reid, she's always wearing a plunging neckline.
She's all woman.
Yeah, I absolutely am in love with Susanna Reid, but when it comes to Silverton, no.
Well, this is what, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, I'm not that bothered about Kate Silverton, to be honest, and as I did try to explain to you yesterday, and I then didn't do any more research, I actually liked a woman that used to be on there but doesn't appear to be on there anymore, more than I do Susanna Reid, but... I do kind of... I think what's happening here is that there's a male conspiracy going on the site of you lot who all fancy Susanna Reid and therefore you hate all the other women on there.
No, because I like the short-haired Asian newbie.
Do you?
Yeah, I think she's lovely, yeah. But
so you like people with short hair?
Susanna Reid's got quite a longish bob, hasn't she?
Right, but the new woman, the new Asian lady, has short hair, rather like a small boy's.
Irrelevant.
But is it irrelevant? Because what you're effectively saying there is you like small boys.
Susanna Reid's got short hair. I don't like her.
You don't like Susanna Reid?
No, sorry. Silverton's got short hair and I don't like her.
Hold on a minute. Spin back. You've started off saying I like Susanna Reid. Now you're saying you don't like Susanna Reid. You prefer small boys.
That's incorrect, as you know. Should we talk about Kate Silverton, who's got short hair and I don't like?
Is she the one with the glasses?
Yeah, I'm not too keen on her. I'm not even sure if she's got boobs.
Well, I mean, as I've tried to explain to people in the past, people who wear spectacles are usually paedophiles.
Fuck you. Yeah. Well, even women?
Oh, no, not women.
She's a woman.
Oh, no, well, she's not a paedophile then.
Yeah, she's got the cold, dead eyes of a killer.
Why?
Because if you look
what,
into
like Clint
her eyes...
Eastwood?
No, you just can't see any soul in there, can you?
What, so she's like Clint Eastwood?
She's exactly like Clint Eastwood.
She's exactly like Clint Eastwood. She looks like Clint Eastwood. She talks like... So I'm assuming it's been a... Hello, welcome to BBC Breakfast News. I'm Bill Turnbull. And I'm Kate Silverton.
Yeah, and then she lights a match on her stubble.
Yeah, exactly. Or either that or grinds her boot into Bill Turnbull's face and then lights a match across his face.
Yeah, I could see her actually in a pair of cowboy boots.
Yeah, are you feeling lucky, Bill?
With a 5 o'clock shadow trundling through the sand of 1800s America.
In a pair of big knickers.
Huge knickers.
Massive knickers. Big knockers, massive knickers, lighting fags on people's face. She's a fucking disgrace.
Yeah, she'll go on to your next one then.
Okay, hang on a minute. Right, this is my last one now.
You're kidding me?
Yeah, this is my last one.
Oh, no, that makes sense.
So my last one is, and don't forget this comes from Watch With Mothers, my last one is The Killer, Barry George.
Yeah, I have an issue with this one. He's not on the TV.
Why? He is on the TV. He was on the TV quite a lot when Jill Dando died.
Yeah, but recently he hasn't been on TV at all, has he?
Do you want to know what I've written about him?
No, I don't, because yesterday we discussed how it can't just be anyone on TV. We mentioned Kim Jong-il can't appear on this list because he's a dictator on the news and he hasn't got his own entertainment show.
Kim Dong Long, the North Korean fella.
You know, Ding Dong Jill, whatever his name is.
Ding Dong... King Dong thingamabob. Yeah, but the difference is, do you want to know what I've written about the killer Barry George?
No, we also cited that Robert Mugaboob, just because he screwed up the Zimbabwean
it's got nothing
economy.
To do with Robert Boogan Mugamoos.
Robert
Mugaboob. It's got nothing to do with him.
He's on the news, right? He's on the news because he commits hideous acts and also screwed up an economy and won't leave his position of power, right? He's on the news all the time. That doesn't make him an unbearable TV personality.
Bemustache, wild-eyed loner psychopath in green anorak, stalks Dando with hands-down trousers. On Thursday, he wanks in the dark. By Friday, Dando's dead. Court of Appeal clears George of crime. Brackets, no smoke without fire, close brackets. Watch out, Carol Smiley. So there.
So that proves it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I actually, as you probably have read, I came out of a bicycle shop in the London borough of Hackney.
With a pink bicycle?
No, my missus was having her bike serviced, and you know, that's not a euphemism.
Having a...
And on the way out, I could have sworn I walked past Barry George.
The killer, Barry George.
Recently released and acquitted Barry George.
No smoke without fire.
But what was he doing in a bicycle shop in Hackney, or am I hallucinating?
Did he have the cold eyes, like Kate Silverton, the cold eyes of a killer?
He had a hair lip.
Yeah, was there a mysterious bulge in his trousers?
I wasn't looking that closely.
Why weren't you looking at his trousers?
Why would I look at his trousers?
For a gun!
Oh.
Ooh, do you live near any light entertainment celebrities, such as Carol Smiley?
I live in Hackney, so I probably do, to be honest. More likely Guardian journalists, actually.
Right, Guardian, no, he's not going to know who they are, is he? Barry George is the kind of character that reads The Sun.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're looking for, let me have a think. Who's a famous person who probably lives near you? Anyway, somebody like Carol Smiley. What you need to do, if you see Barry George, you need to make sure he's not packing heat in case he goes around Carol Smiley's house and kills her like he did Jill Dando, except he didn't.
We can say except he might have done.
Except, well, yeah, exactly. I mean, to be honest, I don't know the legal ins and outs of the case because I didn't follow it, but I did see the photograph of him, and as far as I'm concerned, he's got guilt written all over his face.
Did you see the picture of him as a Freddie Mercury impersonator? Because if you did, you might get the impression that he's, frankly, quite a lovable fella.
Or he's in Queen.
Yeah.
Is he in Queen?
He's certainly not on the telly.
No, so I remember Queen. I don't remember Barry George being in Queen. There was Brian May...
Yeah,
who looked like a poodle.
Colin Taylor.
Colin Taylor, who was the boring one. There was, you're thinking of Roger Taylor, who was the drummer. Who was the 80s looking drummer with the blonde hair and the sunglasses.
No, the bassist was called Roger.
Roger Taylor was the, hang on a minute. No, he wasn't. Roger Taylor was the drummer.
That was Colin Taylor.
It wasn't, the fucking bassist wasn't called Colin Taylor.
Is your missus on the internet at the moment?
No, she's not.
Right.
You leave her out of it. The bassist of Queen was what was his fucking name?
Roger something.
Who was the bassist of Queen? I'm just asking the missus. I can't believe you've dragged her in here. John Deacon. There you go. John Deacon.
So what was the drummer called?
Roger Taylor.
Who's Colin Taylor then?
There's no Colin fucking Taylor in Queen.
Doctor Who? Colin Taylor?
Doctor Who's not in Queen. Fucking hell, where are you getting this from?
This is a completely wasted 10 minutes because Barry George isn't even on the TV.
Yeah, well, that's neither here nor there. Barry George is on my fucking list. He was on the site, somebody put him down.
You?
What do you mean me? Don't blame me. I don't even read Watch With Mothers.
Hello, I'm unpleasant African dictator Idi Amin. I'm just here to say... This is a Watch With Mothers new podcast. They're great. Now I'm off to eat somebody's head. Goodbye!
Right, it's on to my final one, I believe.
Yeah, before you do that, I've just remembered I've got a song about Barry George, the killer Barry George.
Go on then.
Right, oh, my name is Barry, I've never been married. People say I look shady, I didn't kill that lady.
Okay.
So should we move on to your last one?
Yeah, it's predictable, and in actual fact, he's certainly not as bad as Jeremy Kyle, thinking about it.
Really?
He's George Lamb.
Ah, Larry Lamb's boy.
Yeah, that boy.
Larry the Lamb.
He's quite boyish, actually, isn't he?
Not really, no. He's got grey hair, he's got quite a deep voice, he doesn't look anything like a boy, and you would know... You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you say he's got grey hair. I'm sure those are white highlights, which is something I wanted to talk about, actually.
Why would you make your hair intentionally grey if you don't need to? Because that just makes you older.
Well, there's the question. Why would he do that? But he does seem to do that.
Is it because he's a prick?
Well, people can come to their own conclusions, can't they?
They certainly can.
But he thinks it gives him a kind of a distinguished look. He's seen his dad, Larry Lamb, full head of white hair.
Larry the Lamb, yeah.
And he's thought, well, my dad's, you know, he's a bit of a geezer, he's a bit of a man about town, and people respect him.
He's been in EastEnders.
He's been in Triangle.
Triangle with the glamorous Kate O'Mara.
Who else was it? What else was he in?
Larry Lamb.
Was he
in... What?
Was he in Howard's Way?
No, wasn't in Howard's Way, no.
What was
Howard's
it?
Way was... was Stephanie Beecham in Howard's Way?
I can barely remember. But what else was he in then?
Larry Lamb, I don't know.
Right.
He was in EastEnders as Archie.
So anyway, George has looked at his dad, Larry, and he's thought, white hair, that does the biz, gets you a job. And it's certainly worked out for him because...
I'm having a bit of that, he's thinking.
Unbelievably, he's made his way across channels on a number of shows, onto radio as well. He's totally ruined a station that a lot of people love because it's the opposite of what he does. He's insulted one of my heroes, Ray Davies, live on air. Did you hear that?
Who? What, from the off of the Kinks?
Yeah, Ray Davies of the Kinks.
Do you remember when he got shot?
I do, that was quite recent, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was quite fun, that, wasn't it?
And then he almost drowned.
Did he? I don't know, he'd almost drown. Are you sure you're not on about his brother Dave? He had a stroke, didn't he? I mean, if you are a stroke victim, the one thing you don't want to do is try and go swimming.
Well, he lived in New Orleans. Was it New Orleans, Hurricane Katrina?
Dave?
Ray.
Ray?
Yeah, so he almost drowned, technically, because he was in a place where there was lots of water.
It's a bit like that blues singer, isn't it?
Yeah, a bit like that, yeah. Which one? Muddy Waters?
Not Muddy Waters. Though that would have been funny if Muddy Waters had nearly drowned in the muddy waters of post-Hurricane Katrina New Orleans.
That would have been irony right there.
It would have been ironic, wouldn't it? Oh, you'll never guess who's died. Muddy Waters.
But yeah.
In muddy waters.
But Larry Lamb's boy.
Yeah. Larry the Lamb.
How is he getting these jobs? How is this happening?
I don't know, because I will profess, to be honest with you, I don't really know anything about George Lamb. I don't listen to his radio show. I don't even know what radio he's on.
Right.
Radio station.
Right.
I've never seen a TV show with him in it, apart from about 5 minutes of a hairdressing show.
Right. Well, let me give you a bit of background.
Okay, let's have some George Lamb background.
Well, he first came to my attention.
I can finish my barley sugar when you're doing this.
Yeah, you have a suck on your sugar, and I'll tell you what's going on. So apparently he's got
like a rude version of The Apprentice.
It is a bit. He basically was a manager. I think he was manager of Lily Allen. Right.
Right.
That's where the contacts.
The Lily Allen.
That's where the contacts list comes in.
Okay.
And then he somehow got a gig presenting a radio show on Six Music, the home of musos and anal music lovers throughout the world.
It's called the sister station of Radio 2, apparently.
It might have started that way, but it was basically a lot of very, kind of an eclectic mix of left-field music, if you like.
Yeah, the usual suspects, Phil Jupitus. That Welsh woman with the awful voice.
Yeah, and other people who know how to present a radio show. And then
celebrities.
Then Lamb came in and started these catchphrases, which were sub Noel Edmonds DLT kind of thing. Do you know what he shouts?
Is he the Shabba man?
He's Shabba.
Shabba.
So he shouts Shabba, and if you listen to the interview with Ray Davies, he basically makes a laughing stock of Ray Davies without any wit or flair whatsoever. He just basically takes the piss out of the man without knowing anything about him.
Why? Why did he do that? What did he say?
Well, you have to listen to it on YouTube, but he asked him a series He asked him a series of ridiculous questions. Ray Davies tries to handle it all right, but then at the end, he kind of says, oh, I've just got to go. And then afterwards, Ray Davies refused to go back on the radio. Because he was bored of the questions, as anyone with a right mind would be. And then Lamb spent the rest of the show taking the piss out of him and saying, oh, he's not selling as many records as he used to. Singing over the top of Waterloo Sunset, basically, lyrics taking the piss out of Ray Davies. And it was a bit... It was just upsetting, really.
Hang on a minute. Hold on. Hold on. You're right. I've just put my barley sugar in the ashtray. Because I'm furious about it. He did what?
Yeah, exactly. He was taking the piss out of a man who has contributed so much to the canon of great British music.
George Lamb has just made me waste the best part of a barley sugar. Bastard.
Well,
I love Ray Davies. What's wrong with Ray Davies? I mean, he did all those songs. He did that song about that fella. He did that other one about a bridge. No, it wasn't about a bridge, was it? He did one about afternoons.
Sunny
he did
afternoons.
Another one about dancing.
Fashion.
And he did one about transvestites.
Autumn almanacs.
Yeah, almanacs.
Basically, he's a pretty cool cat.
He was the 60s, basically. I mean, if you ignore the 60s involved other people, he was 1960s.
You really got me. We didn't even mention that.
This upstart boy of an has-been, bit part bloody actor nobody's ever heard of, comes on and has a go at Ray Davies, does he? Who's he think he is?
Yeah.
Who's he think he is? He's not Dimbleby, is he?
Well, he's hardly Dimbleby. If you saw his documentary about legals, it was...
Dimbleby's documentary about legals?
No, Dimbleby, I don't believe, has ever touched a legal.
I don't think he's touched an illegal, let alone a legal.
No, whereas Lamb's boy, he went on TV and took Salvio, and it was the most... it was probably the least well-researched documentary I've ever seen.
Right. And talking of going on air... taking drugs, salvia, you call it. Is that the sausage stuff?
Yeah, as you asked me yesterday, when I was actually in the throes of taking salvia, you repeatedly asked me if it's the same stuff you find in sausages, which sent me off on one, I have to say.
Yeah, you did start giggling a bit. I was trying to conduct a serious interview with a man high in the middle of a park trip, and what did you do? You buggered it up by laughing a lot because I'd said the word sausages.
Yeah, sorry about that. But,
yeah, it was a useless on-air pot frenzy that went wrong. You know, I was thinking, here we're going to do a useful social experiment here. Everything's going to be bloody brilliant, and we'll probably win an award, some kind of an internet award. You know those awards you see on the side of blogs?
Sony Awards, do you mean?
Yeah, no, not one of those. One of those awards. It's usually a little picture saying, "I've won an award,"
yeah.
And you think, "Yeah, and well done, congrats. Are you now famous?" Or whatever, we could have won one of them for investigative online radio internet journalism. Instead of that, it was me going repeatedly, "Are you all right?" You going,
"Yeah, but
like that." Is it sausages?
On question time,
we'll leave it there.
On Question Time or Newsnight, yeah, Newsnight. Do you ever see Paxman asking, say, Michael Howard, interrogating questions about sausages?
Oh, it's my fault now, is it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You flood your fucking system with some kind of nightmare sausage-based drug, and suddenly it's my fault.
Yes, it's entirely your fault.
Right, okay, yeah, I'm the ringleader here, am I? Yet again, I'm the bad influence. I will not name names, but long, long ago, me and you knew somebody who shit in a church, yeah? They shit in a church. Yeah, and who got the blame for that? Muggins. Was it me who had a shit? Now... 20 years later, you're doing the same thing. You're blaming me for somebody else.
Yeah, I'm saying you and Lamb are in cahoots, and you...
What?
Yeah.
What? Hey? What? I'm... Me and George Lamb, we've done this, have we? We made you take those drugs yesterday. You down in London.
Yeah.
In London?
Hey, in London.
Oh, down there in that there London.
I went to London and a big man made me take a drug.
He made me take drugs. I didn't like it. Fuck off. I never made you take those bloody drugs. You just fucked everything up. You fucked up that. You fucked up the bloody recording. We had gold in there. Gold.
Right.
We were talking about Robert Moogaboogoo. We were talking about Kim Dong fucking whatever his bloody name is. We were talking about nuclear war. You fucked that up. I was just about to say that the entire human race is doomed. Oh, no. You buggered that up. Now, apparently, I'm in cahoots with George bloody Lamb.
I think we've done our job. So you've just reprimanded me on tape, and now you're blowing raspberries.
I am, yeah, I'm raspberrying you, mate. I'm sorry about that, but that was reprehensible, blaming all that on me. So I know it's not good radio. You know what I mean? If we were working on Radio 2, yeah, I'd probably would have been the new Jonathan Ross, Russell Brand. That would have been Fartgate. You know what I mean? Fuck you. That's what I think.
I was working at Radio 2. Perish the thought, I say.
Well, I don't want to work at Radio 2, admittedly, because it's all full of Steve Wright people. Do you know what I mean? I couldn't work in the same building as Steve Wright.
You'd have to work in London as well.
I don't want to work in London. We are thinking of moving there in a couple of years' time, which would be dreadful. But, you know, needs must.
You'd get paid well.
Oh, we'd get paid well, yeah, but I'd have to work with Steve Wright, and his name rhymes with shite.
Has he still got a moustache?
No, I think he has, actually, yeah. To hide something, I think. You know, I think certain people grow moustaches to hide an evil top lip of evil.
Yeah, you're probably right. He probably might have a tattoo there.
He could have. What, you're all cunts and I'm making money off the back of you cunts.
Just I am great with great.
Yeah, I am great. And probably, actually, he's got a tattoo that says I am great. And then his minions have ones that all go, woo, woo. So Janie Lee Grace has got one that goes, woo, you go, Steve. And then Tim, his other minion, has one that goes, hey, round of applause.
Christ, you know the name of his minions.
I know, yeah, well, unfortunately, I have listened to his show. And what happens is he says something that isn't funny, and then his two minions go, woo, woo. Do you remember, like, the Posse, when he was on Radio 1?
I was going to say, he's only got two left. He used to have the Posse.
Exactly. Well, I'm assuming, like Young Guns 2, a few of them got killed off after being hunted by Pat Garrett.
No, they probably said something that he disapproved of. He pulled a lever and they fell into the pits of hell.
Well, what they wouldn't have done is they wouldn't have sycophantically clapped every time he said something vaguely amusing or came up with one of his factless factoids.
You're getting a few sycophants these days, aren't you?
I am now, yeah. But apparently I'm the funniest man in the world.
I dispute that.
Yeah, so do I. What a load of crap. Stop writing shit like that, you sycophantic jizzers.
Right.
Anyway, are we saying goodbye now?
Yeah, let's call a close to this one.
Call a halt to this ill-tempered podcast, which is your fault.
But at least we've got most of it down. I'm sure those files are saved. So
we've laid the tracks down. This is a bit like the recording of the White Album, isn't it?
Yeah, or Dark Side of the Moon. It's certainly an occasion.
Right, which would make me John Lennon and you Ringo Starr.
No, that would make me Roger Waters and you whatever the drummer was called. Nick something?
Nick Mason. No, if this is Pink Floyd, I'm Roger Waters and you're Rick Wright, the dead one.
I'm Brian May and you're Colin Taylor.
No, I'm not Colin Taylor because there was no fucking Colin Taylor in Queen.
I'm Roger Waters.
I'm Colin Taylor. No, I'm Roger Taylor.
So there we have it. I am Roger Waters. The Napoleon is Colin Taylor. And that's the end of the podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Say goodbye, Napoleon. Goodbye. Which with mothers? Which with mothers?